This is Lisa Rudisell wanting to share another devotion. Yesterday, I talked about how the word devotion means devotion is used in the giving devotions. The actual number one meaning of the word devotion is love or loyalty or enthusiasm for a person or a cause. So I focused yesterday on how much I can tell that God has showered love on my life, and He has showered love on all of us by creating the world and the earth and making it all come together in such a wonderful manner. And then I spoke about how I wish to share devotion, my own personal devotion, not just in words, but the act of devotion towards the Lord Himself, towards God, and showing Him how much I appreciate all that He has done for me. So today I have another devotion, and I'm going to start off talking about the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. And essentially this commandment to me says, love the Lord. Love the Lord your God. And from Exodus chapter 21, verse 23, from the list of commandments we have, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Essentially, it says to not worship idols, to not have gods of silver and gold, and to make sure that we, above all, love the Lord our God. So from the very earliest time, back in the time of when Moses was leading the people across the desert, we learned in these Ten Commandments how important it is that we honor and love the Lord God and worship Him. This came in the earliest parts of the Bible. In the earliest parts, God showed His love by making man in His own image and giving him dominion over the animals, over the Garden of Eden, and over the earth. The Garden of Eden was the earth given to man without condition at that point, just given as a gift from God. God stepped in to help the Hebrews then later on when they came to escape Egypt and the slavery they were in there, and He gave them at that point the Ten Commandments, which further elaborated what the covenant would be between God and man. The first commandment, again, tells us to love God with all our hearts, to put aside all other gods and idols. We learn from this that first, God loved us and gave us the most incredible, beautiful, and wonderful earth, His creation, and all of its resources and all of its wonders for our home. This was His great gift of love to us. And like I stated in my last devotion that I shared, the gifts I have been given by God are nearly amazing in number. I can't begin to count them. They happen daily in so very many ways. There are so very many gifts. The very miracle of my own life was the first gift of this incredible earthly life, which He gave to me and He gave to all of us, is a demonstration of the divine love of our Heavenly Father, an incredible and amazing love. In our modern world, we become so easily distracted by the push to buy, and this is called consumerism, and it is fueled by our capitalistic society in America, which is based upon sales, essentially, selling goods. America depends on our people buying the newest and the best, essentially, in order to fuel our economy. So we become so easily tied to the dollar. We are easily tied to gold and to silver. We may not melt down the gold to build a golden calf, but we definitely worship the mighty dollar in America. And in most places around the world, this also applies. Our houses get bigger in America. Our entertainment gets more bold and expensive. Our vacations become more lavish. And usually in all of this, whether it's intended or not, God becomes smaller in the overall picture of our society and perhaps in many people's lives. We become too busy for God and tied up and entrenched in our consumerism and our need for the bigger and better things. And even going out to eat, we have to have a new and different experience on that all the time. We know from the Bible how greed can destroy. One small example is Judas, who betrayed even Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What a meager thing to give somebody's life up for only 30 pieces of silver. In the end, he also died. So the silver did him little good. The temple treasures that were kept in Israel and Jerusalem became an attraction for invading armies. Over and over we read about various armies coming in and taking from the temple itself in Jerusalem. The temple was ransacked more than once, and the treasures there were taken away. So even the temple treasures were removed. In our own time, the Great Depression of 1929 was caused by a greedy overspeculation on the New York stock market. I was not alive then. I only can read what I was read about it and hear what I was told. My parents experienced this, and my mother told of only having clear chicken broth at school. That was all they had to eat when she was in the early Depression years. What an awful situation to go from having so much to having almost nothing. I even heard that a family of poor children in North Carolina in a smaller town it's called Statesville outside of where I live in Charlotte became orphans. There were five children, but I heard from one of them that when they were in this situation and their father was not there, their mother had to be a waitress, and it was the Depression and times were so tough. Believe it or not, this lady said they went out into the backyard and cut grass and ate it. Now, you know there's no nutrition there. So we can go from the extreme of having so much to having so little. Many are the local, state, and national politicians who are caught with their hands in a cookie jar, more or less, taking bribes or illegal funds, having money they're not supposed to have. Even churches like the PTL Club in Charlotte oversold timeshares. Even churches fall prey to this at times, this putting money on the pedestal instead of God. Our money today is counted in billions of dollars, which are sometimes lost too, believe it or not. We lose a billion here, a billion there. Or money is obtained from government under the pretense of under a pretense that is not even true. In the future, they find out that the money they received was not for a good cause. Maybe not intentionally bad, but just not the correct cause. Things change. In the bright and dazzling light of the sun bouncing off glass-fronted buildings, dazzling stadiums and sports complexes, fancy homes and autos, are we blinded now to the mighty, powerful hand of God the Father, our Creator, Jesus the Savior, and those miracles of love that were given to us for so many years in so many ways? Are we blinded? Are we simply dazzled by the silver and gold and what it buys? We need to return to the basics of the one who really loves us. and who has proven that to us, and his son. A child ran to greet her daddy when he came home from traveling and work, and grabbed him and hugged him. "Daddy," she said, "are you the Heavenly Father?" the little girl asked innocently. My pastor, by the way, would have said yes. He would have been tempted to respond yes to that question, even though we know it's not true. But in this case, this father very wisely responded, "No, baby, no. That Father is over us all and watches us from above. He loves us." While we are of this earth and have our earthly fathers, as well as our temptations to idols like gold and silver and everything that it brings us, we must never forget that our Heavenly Father is the one we must place above all things. He is the one we must love with total devotion. He has loved us and given us so much, and we must also love Him. We must run to Him in greeting, and He is our Heavenly Father. So I would share with you of my prayer today, and here is my prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, my own gifts overwhelm me with the pure goodness you show in my life and in the life of all on earth. Great Father, we are devoted to you, Lord. There are no gods above you. Idols of gold, silver, and glitter don't control our lives. When we remember all of the love you've shown us, nothing can outweigh you in our own hearts. Please take our love and use it to honor you, to lift you ever higher in heaven, on your throne from where you can reign almighty and with justice. Look down upon us here and remember that we care and we love you. And we adore you, Lord. Amen.